114 million pound has been won by Francis and Patrick Connolly. They are currently standing in the Culloden in front of a huge press gathering with a giant cheque, £114,969,775.70. Not bad at all, Linda McCauley.
I'm just looking at their faces. They must have been terrified standing in the wings waiting to walk, and everybody's wondering, who is it, who is it? And, you know, we're talking about Christmas shopping and debt on your behalf tomorrow. That they have no worries about Christmas. Their worry is about almost having too much.
I want to hear what they're saying. Can we listen in to see what they're being asked here? If there are any questions, Colin? Just photos at this point. It must be completely daunting. We can speak as well to Malachy O'Doherty and Jim Madole. Good morning to you both. Like, where do you even start, Malachy? Would you have gone public?
My temptation would have been not to go public. It doesn't seem to me to be a very sensible thing to go public, because you're going to attract an awful lot of attention. On the other hand, how do you keep a secret like that? I mean, if you live in Armagh and you suddenly have that amount of money, and presumably you're going to be distributing it around.
Let's go back to the. Sorry, Malachy. Let's go back to the Culloden and have a listen in and see what they're saying.
On your millions, so you're the fourth biggest national lottery winners ever. How's it feel?
Unreal.
Overwhelming, to be
does
fair.
It, does yeah. it really?
Yeah. I don't think it's actually sunk in.
No.
It really hasn't.
No. And obviously all of these guys are here to hear your story. So what we'll do is just
thank you so much for
coming here.
We'll talk through
your story.
Sorry
to spoil all your New Year's.
Oh, no, I don't think you did. I don't think you did. We'll chat through your story.
Okay.
And then we'll open up the floor to anybody who wants to ask any questions. So first things first, tell us about when you bought your ticket and how you bought your ticket, because you actually bought the tickets on New Year's Day, didn't you? Is that right?
Yeah, I suppose we do the national lottery online.
Yeah.
So we by direct debit, so we never really bother checking anything or doing anything.
Yeah.
And I only do Euro Millions when they've got a big rollover or something and it's on the telly to remind me. So I always go up to the local Super Value and I said to Paddy at Christmas, oh, there's a big win, I'm going to get a ticket. And normally I get one and I forget to. I said, I'm doing this one until some bugger wins it. So we did the first couple of weeks and we did it over Christmas.
Yeah.
And we were going to go to the shop on New Year's Eve and get the ticket.
Yeah.
And I forgot. So New Year's morning at the breakfast table, we said, oh, I can't be bothered going out today. Will you do it online?
Right.
I said, yeah, no problem. Come lunchtime. Again, it would normally be something we'd forget after that. And for some reason, I said to Paddy, have you done it yet? He said, I'll do it now. Better than getting nagged. So he didn't say that, but I could hear it going around his head. And then he did it, and then we forgot all about it.
And you forgot all about it. So that was earlier on in the day then.
It's about lunchtime.
About lunchtime.
Yeah.
And you were at home all day New Year's Day?
Yeah, no, nothing exciting. And it's quite a great day. And, you know.
So fast forward then to the evening. You obviously sat at home together,
yeah.
And you just what did you decide to do about 10 o'clock?
Yeah, said? Well, Francis was watching television, and I thought, I'll just check my emails before bedtime. Mm-hmm. So I just went on, checked emails, nothing exciting.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I'll check the lottery numbers, which I don't normally do, but just by chance.
Yeah.
So we clicked on that, and I put in the check my numbers tab.
Right, so you bought one lucky dip. That's
one lucky
right.
dip. Obviously random numbers, check the numbers, and there's a little box came up and each of the numbers was ticked.
Right.
And I thought, right, okay, you know, have we done okay, you
yeah.
know, but still didn't believe it, thought, no, it's a scam or I'm looking at the wrong page or something.
Right.
So I then sort of went on to a second website, the BBC website, and checked their numbers and they were the same.
Right.
And I still thought this is a bit of a scam, so I checked the third site,
yeah.
and again the same numbers.
Right.
And
so all this time you're sat there checking numbers. What were you doing at this time? You were knitting. What were you knitting?
Jumper from
Jumper. Right. Okay. So you didn't say anything.
I didn't say anything. I didn't want to get it wrong or you know overreact. You
yeah.
know. So yeah, just quite calm. And then thought, I'll just give Francis have a look at this in case I'm still missing
yeah.
something. And so I just turned the computer around to her.
And said,
I think I've got some good news for you. And I could see the lottery ticket up and I thought, well, it must be more than £2.60. You won £2.60 the week before. And Yeah, all that time we've been doing the National Lottery, I don't think we've got three tenors out of it. So, you know, we were never being the winners. And he said, I think we've won.
Yeah.
I said, well, yeah, but we've won what? We've won, I thought he was going to say, got £1,000 or something. He said, no, you're misunderstanding me. We've won. Couple of expletives later, which I'm trying not to say in front of you, but you must be joking. He said, I wouldn't joke about something like that. And all the conversations about what would you do if went out the window. We sat staring at each other for 10 minutes. We literally said nothing.
So you didn't say a word. You didn't jump up and down and scream and chat. And
no.
You just
we haven't done that yet. So I don't think we believe it yet.
So did you believe... I mean, when he's shown you the computer and you're looking through...
No, honestly, I genuinely thought that there's something wrong, there's something going to happen. I tell you what, the only other thing I ever won was guess the number of sweets in a jar.
Right.
And four people did the same thing. We always said, if we ever did win 4 million or something, because that's the usual lottery, there'll be 4 million winners that week and we'll get £1. So I was waiting on, you know, there's... I suppose at that point we kind of thought, well, we must have won a decent amount of money because, and we'd be happy with anything. We were chuffed to bits, but Paddy does chuffed very quietly. So.
You're both incredibly calm here. So is this what you were actually like in the room?
Well, probably even quieter, you know.
Really? So you're staring at each other. At what point did you actually believe what you'd seen?
I think the next stage was at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
When we got an email through which then said, check the site.
Right.
And then obviously there was a message this time on the site that said, you have won £114.9 million. Then it started to become a little bit more real.
And at that point, did you run and scream and shout and jump?
No.
What did you do?
Had a cup of tea.
A hug and a cup of tea.
We have quite a big problem.
Did you actually believe it at that point?
No. We still needed to talk to someone to see, are we reading this wrong?
Right.
You know, and then also, I also believed is, this is Euro Millions, there could be lots of winners in other countries.
Right, so you were still in this, even though it said it, and even though you got the information in front of you, you still didn't believe it. So what stage then, I mean, you obviously, you sat there, you think that you might have won almost...
Just in case you're just tuning into the No One Show, this is Francis and Patrick Connolly, who have won £114 million on the lotto, speaking in the Culloden Hotel at a press conference.
Don't worry, it's in the accounting. But you sat there. So you said to me you then went to bed.
Well, we tried.
So it's about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, 20 minutes later, I was back downstairs. I think you had an hour later on.
Yeah, wasn't asleep.
Not
just
a wink.
Just trying to rest.
Well, were you lying there thinking, how are you going to spend it? I'm going to buy the biggest house in the world. It's a huge amount of money.
No.
Nothing.
What were you doing? What were your thoughts? What was going through your head?
When the email came through and we sort of started talking to each other about, do you know, this is kind of real.
Yeah.
And that you're asking us, do we believe it? We're not stupid. We kind of did.
Yeah.
But believing it in your head and kind of acknowledging it or it meaning anything didn't actually mean anything at that point.
Yeah.
But we did believe it. We're not daft. It was on the internet. So we started saying, well, okay, well, the only thing we've done is make a list of all the people we're going to give money to.
So instead of going on the internet, like lots of people would think they would do, going looking at the biggest house they could buy or where they could go shopping or where they could go on holiday or all of those things that everybody says that you sat there and wrote a list.
Like everybody else in the country, we have sat across the table every now and again. What would we do if we win? And you've got the house. If I'd won £1 million, I'd have it spent before they had it in the bank because I knew the house I was going to buy, I knew the cars, I knew how much money the kids were going to get. Not a bother.
Really?
But this was just...
Yeah, it's different. Yeah,
and immediately, the list was made.
Right.
We have a physical list.
So this is a physical list of people that you're going to share the money that you've just won with. The start of the list. How many people are on the list?
At the minute, about 50.
50 people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you've got a list of 50 people who are going to win. What, you're going to make more millionaires? What are you going to do?
Definitely not. A few of them.
Okay. And do they know?
No.
People on the list, they don't know. How are you going to tell them?
Well, the fun bit for us, and it sounds unselfish to be giving it away, but it's going to be so much fun That was always the first thing I knew I was going to do.
Right.
I had to think the second thing I was going to do was try and stop him from tearing up the list. But
I'm working on that. But, yeah.
Actually, it's worked out in my favour because it's such a big amount of money, he doesn't care about the list. So we have the list. Going and seeing people's faces. I want the pleasure for me is going to be seeing their faces and asking them what they want us to do for them, or, you know.
Have you, I mean, how quickly are you doing that? Are you starting it now?
Some of it will happen straight away. Obviously, we've got three daughters and our grandchildren, and they at least get something. And a lot of people will maybe get something straight away, but we have to have time to get the money and get it into a proper bank account, you know, all that kind of practical, very practical things. So it might take a month before we can really do anything major for people, but as soon as we can.
Have you worked out how you're going to tell them?
We've thought about a couple of people, but we're sort of wing it and see, really. Just turn up.
Face to face, you know.
Yeah, definitely. No. Definitely face to face.
Right. Wow. What an amazing gift. What an amazing gift.
I'm so excited.
Well, you said the excitement came from you, from writing the list and then working out what you were going to do with it.
Yeah. Oh, it's still fun to be thought of how we want to do it, you know. We haven't thought of all the logistics. It's been a bit of a whirlwind week.
I mean, we're talking a couple of days since you actually bought the ticket, won, and then now you're sat here in front of everyone today. Have you got any thoughts on what you guys might do with the rest of it?
Well, eventually he's going to want to go back and do some business stuff, and we have talked about getting a business or businesses and helping out back here in Northern Ireland.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And have you? So you currently live in Moira.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. And you're in rented accommodation in Moira. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
So you were planning on, or you were going to be relocating with work, or you were expecting to relocate with work?
Yeah. I was working at the minute, and there was options there. I had got an offer in Croydon as well, so there could have been a move back to England, which we'd worked in for quite a while.
Right. Okay.
So really, everything's up in the air now.
Right. So
really
you're not going to Croydon then anyway?
Not at the minute.
Right, okay. you're retired for now?
I'm retired and trying to digest this a little bit.
I'm trying to work out what you need to do.
It won't last long. No. I'll need to be doing something. Yeah.
And how about you, Francis? What are your plans?
Oh, I'm definitely retired. 100%. 100%. I have always been involved in charity work. View Digital in Belfast. I was doing some work with them for a while, and they're fantastic. For an online magazine for the third sector, or the voluntary sector. So I will definitely be getting involved with Una and doing something there.
You were talking about going back and studying. You've got some plans to study.
Well, there's another thing. You know, when you have these conversations, as you do, I was always, if I won the lottery, I'm never leaving school again.
Yeah.
I am never leaving school again.
Really?
I am carrying on with my plans.
And And what were your plans as they started?
I wanted to do my PhD.
Right. Clinical psychology, is that right? Probably.
Possibly.
Yeah. So you've still got plans. You're going to carry on and do the same thing.
Yeah.
So, with all these things up in the air, because clearly
I can just afford to do it.
There you go. They are the Moira Millionaires, 114 million. It's multi millionaires from Moira. That's Francis and Patrick Connolly. Well done to them. Jim Madol, I'm not quite sure of your wealth. This might just be a drop in the ocean for a man like you. That question is always intriguing to me. Would you go public? Because my first thought is no, because then everybody knows. But how would you try and hide that amount of money? You couldn't spend it.
Well, I wouldn't want to listen to that interview. I mean, that was a dream. That is a journalist's dream, that interview. Two really decent people, two really deserving people. And when Mr. Connolly turned around and said, I think I've got some good news for you, to his wife, after checking the numbers and rechecking them. I mean, that's a good news story. People are fed up with tragedies. News programs, newspapers are all about triumphs and tragedy. But what a triumphant story. And what two more decent people you would never find. And certainly, I would go public. I mean, tomorrow, the day after, you just watch newspaper sales. They'll spike, what's called in our game, spiking. I mean, the very fact that that you were hanging on there, Vinny, for most of that press conference, or the start of it, and the real meat of that press conference, just shows you, I bet your listenership went through the roof, because it's a really, really brilliant story. And I would go public, sure. What have you got to lose?
What would you buy, Jim? What would be the first thing you would buy, or the biggest, most extravagant thing?
Well, I'd love to buy Stormont and turn it into a casino, because there are all these no-go politicians gambling with everybody's lives and livelihoods. I'd turn it into a casino, and then I'd throw all the takings over to the National Health Service. And then the second thing I'd do is buy a pub and invite everybody in Ulster who fancied one in for a pint. Why not? And the third thing, of course, was what those folks are saying on their list. Well, probably the first thing, Vinny, family first. Those people are brilliant. They've already made a list. They're going to get their family, their friends, a few quid.
Yeah.
And that woman, Mrs. Connolly, going back saying she wants to be a clinical psychologist, and she's going to realise that ambition and put something back into the voluntary sector, into the community. That is one fantastic story. Absolutely brilliant.
It really lifts your heart. Linda McCauley, I would imagine there's quite a few people wondering if they're on that list of 50 people that are going to get a phone call probably later today.
Well, that's the only downside. People would wonder just how good a friend they are. But those couple are just fabulous. I mean, I loved their phrase. Paddy does chuffed very quietly, Francis said. So they had a hug and a cup of tea. And I like the way he said that he wants to give something back into business. He wants to put something back into business in the local town, because that's what we're talking a lot about on the programme tomorrow. We're talking about the fact that shopping been up or down, what's it been like for traders and businesses. It's different between Belfast and in the country. But there's Paddy saying he wants to put money back into business in a local town. That's really great to hear. And they were a lovely, lovely couple, weren't they? I mean, they want to do the real thing. They want to help people around
them.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, money can open so many doors, but there's a lot of issues that can be associated with it. It can attract a lot of attention that might not always be positive. But I think my understanding is if you go public, then Camelot or the lotto people will sort of stand by and look after you. Whereas if you decide to stay private and not publish what you're doing and what you've won, which is totally your choice, then they won't. You don't necessarily get that support.
I imagine there'll be a lot of letters, begging letters, though. I mean, people saying, and of course they want to give to charity. Wasn't that marvellous?
Yeah.
Frances says that she worked for charity, sort of online digital for the charity sector, and she wants to do more of that. I think the first thing, when you draw up a list of people you want to help, that's your first thing to do. I think they're a credit to Northern Ireland. And he's not going back to Croydon. Good man yourself.
No, he's staying pretty, staying where he is.
Credit to Northern Ireland that they're lovely country folk and they're going to keep it here. I think they're wonderful, actually.
Malachy, would I be on your list of 50? You've always been my favourite wee bearded commentator and journalist.
Well, I'm not going to win the lottery because I don't play the lottery. I mean, that's going to sound very deer mouth, I suppose.
That was a no.
I agree with Linda and Jim that the Connollys sound like wonderful people, and there'll be, you know, and the idea that they do want to live their lives. I mean, what has happened in the past with people is they've made very big money and they've lost any sense of how to live their lives. They think that, you know, go to the med, you know, live, you know, champagne for breakfast, live it up, buy everybody a huge house, and they go broke, you know. And but we've had other examples like Peter Lavery, for instance, who won, what was it, 10 million?
Yes.
And who, you know, who appears to have looked after himself quite well, looked after friends quite well, contributed well to charity, and, you know, has not been completely, ruined by it.
But that's a very good point. We had Colin Bell on the programme earlier, Malachy, and he set up a repatriation trust, the Kevin Bell Trust, as a result of the money that he won. So people, and I guess when you win like 114 to 15 million, there are a lot of options that you have open to you, what you can do. I was Googling during that what you could buy with 100 million. There are articles out there. I don't know who needs to look at these, but you could buy a few Formula One racing cars. Apparently, they cost you about between 6 and 9 million each. You can take a trip.
A couple of racehorses.
That's it. I don't know where you'd race it. Like, you'd have to buy a track as well. You could you could go into space, buy a private island. Apparently, there's one for sale near Fiji for 2.8. You know, buy artwork, private jet.
And even then, with 100 million, you're still going to have money, you know?
It's going to make money. money, isn't it, Malachy? Because once it's in the bank, I mean, the interest and your money, it's going to keep growing.
It's going to keep growing, you know. I do know a couple of people in my remote social circle who have great wealth. I mean, wealth.
You're talking about Jim Madole again.
I'm not talking
He's talking about Stephen Nolan.
But there are people who made the money through business. And the interesting thing about, and I'm thinking of two people, I won't name them, but the interesting thing about them is they just keep on working. You know, they got their money because they worked so hard and had entrepreneurial ideas and whatever. And then you would think you would reach a kind of plateau where, right, I now have £70 million or whatever in the bank. I'm on the Sunday Times rich list. I can now stop. I can now put my feet up and enjoy the pool, you know. And they don't do that. They just keep on working.
It's different though, is it? Because this is overnight money.
This is overnight, and you need to have some kind of maturity to handle that. And I don't know if I would have that, but it does sound like the Connollys have. Certainly at the moment, they have. They're being fairly clear-headed about it, but. You know, £100 million. I mean, it's actually stupid to give somebody £100 million.
Well, I guess it depends. If
I would have thought 115 people get a million would have been better myself, Malachy. I'm with
Linda. Far, far more sensible. And probably better for the economy as well, in that it would distribute.
Where is the fun in that, Linda? Because,
do you know what? I know. Catch yourselves on.
It's too much.
Go ahead, Jim.
Vinny, tell me that Malachy or Linda would turn down the guts of 115 million quid if they won it overnight. Tell me that.
Let me tell you. See, Linda McCauley's sitting golden robe here. Linda McCauley, I'm telling you, there's a bit of money. You know when you can kind of smell money around people? Well, you can smell it around Linda McCauley. That's all I'm saying.
I'm also intrigued by that Formula One idea that you came up with.
Yes.
I mean, there's the answer to what to do with the old Mayor's Prison site. They could buy the Mayor's Prison site, turn it into a Grand Prix track. What would that do? You know, there we go. We could have Lewis Hamilton and all the rest fizzing about over the Mayor's jail site. It would be absolutely fabulous.
I just want to point something out as well. I mentioned about Colin Bell earlier. He had, of course, already set that trust up before he won the lotto, but it enabled him to keep it going. Let's take a wee call on this. Brian in Derry. Good morning to you, Brian.
Morning. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I would be happier with 114 million in the bank.
Would you? Would you really, Vinny? Would you really? But anyway, I'll tell you a story about how I was briefly happy with winning the lottery. When the lottery was in its infancy, I like a lot of people, done the UK lottery, you know. And I came home from work one Monday evening, sat down in front of the fire, and had me dinner and all the rest. And then I, with my wife, we checked out the lottery numbers. So she had them written down. I had the first one, had the second one, had the third one. I had the six and I had the bonus. And, you know, the time you get to that stage, what am I going to do with this? How can I live with this? You know, what's going to happen? But what I didn't realise was, on the way home from work, I called into the shop, and in those days, maybe you still can, get a copy of the winning numbers.
Right.
So she was reading them out as she had written them down, you know, with a pen. And I had taken the wrong docket out of my pocket. I brought out the copy of the winning numbers.
Oh, you're joking me.
And I thought I was a millionaire. But, you know, I was thinking, how would you handle that? You know, I don't think I could, you know what I mean? I'm happy enough the way I am, you know. But one other brief story there about Camelot, or here, I don't know if it's them run this one, but they did one time book a function room in a hotel I work in. And they rang up and they said, bit of good news in your area. Somebody's won a lot of money, you know. Now, I live in Greysteel, Fahamville, Eglinton area. And like a lot of other areas, this news travels fast. So this was sometime on Sunday, you know. They wanted to book a room, a function room for Monday. And the daughter who answered the phone says, oh, is that young fella up the road? You know, so everybody knew about it. There was no.
So everybody knew. That's the thing. You couldn't. It's hard
to keep a secret. Keep a secret in Northern Ireland, you're good. You know?
Well, that's very true, Brian. Thank you, Ken, in Antrim. Ken Wilkinson, actually. Good morning to you, Ken.
Good morning.
Good morning. What do you think?
First of all, congratulations to the family who won the money.
Yes, indeed.
But it was just regarding Colin Bell when he was on there. You know.
Yes, he was on at 9 o'clock there.
Yes, that trust was set up long before. He ever win the lottery.
Yeah, but he did say, you know, winning that lottery enabled him to keep that going, and I guess
I think the point that I'm making is that, you know, the Bell family win that, and a more deserving family.
Yeah,
I've dealt with them on several occasions to get people, loved ones home from abroad, and a more deserving couple couldn't have won the £1 million. But as I say, I just wanted to clarify that that money was raised by a lot of people after his own son died. And as I say, a more deserving couple couldn't have won the lottery.
Ken, thank you very much.